Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone again this evening. Thank you for choosing to be back here tonight. You could be opening your Bibles to Psalm 139. That's where we'll be again this evening, going through this series on Psalm 139. And we think about last week, and the thing that we get to see is that God is an all-knowing God. The fact that He sees everything, He knows everything. When we think about all that God is, that He is all-knowing and that He is all-powerful, when we think about, especially coming out of VBS and looking at just how powerful and incredible God is, to be able to see creation and the fact that He spoke everything into existence, to be able to see how He is that great provider, the fact that He is our refuge and our strength and the one that we can always depend on and lean upon. Here in Psalm 139, you think about this psalm of David as he writes it, and he starts out in the first six verses that we looked last week with God's omniscience, the fact that beginning there in verse 1, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Listen, I may not be able to know all God knows, but I can certainly know what God would have me to do in order to be right with Him so I can live with Him in heaven for all eternity. That is something that I can know. I can know these things about God, and I may not be able to comprehend and understand all of them. But as we looked last week, the fact that God is known, He is known by me, He knows of me. The fact that when you think about with God that He knows where I'm at, He knows the things that come out of my mouth. He knows what I do all day throughout the day. All of these things God knows. Tonight, I want to take a look at the fact that not only does God know everything, but the fact that also God is everywhere. Here in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7, the psalmist continues, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from You, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to You." I don't know about you, but when it gets dark, I can't see anything. For the psalmist here to write in verse 12 that day and night doesn't make any difference to God. He can see plainly and clearly. God's not like us. When we think about God being everywhere, His omnipresence, there are three illustrations here that show we cannot hide from God. Number one, in verses 7 and 8, what we see is that death cannot hide us from God. As the psalmist writes, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where would I be able to go to get away from You? Where would I be able to go to be able to hide from You?" You know, my kids, and we still play it around the house at times, and I know they play it around here with other kids. People like to play hide and seek, right? They like to play hide and seek, go and hide. And man, I'm telling you, there are a few places that I have found to hide that I have fallen asleep and taken a nap, and I enjoyed it. I didn't mind being the king of hide and seek. In our old farmhouse in Kansas where I grew up at, there was a nook in our closet that I still don't know if my brother and sister ever found. I was not going to point it out to them because that was my hiding spot. And more than once, I have fallen asleep right there and they have never found me. And I will come out later, have no idea how long it has been, and they're like, "We gave up a long time ago trying to find you." Listen, I may be able to hide from them. I may be able to hide things from you. I can hide nothing from God. I don't have that ability. God, there's nowhere I can go. Where can I flee from Your presence? And these are rhetorical questions. The psalmist already knows the answers, and he is giving those answers, or beginning to give those then, in verse number 8. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. Well, why is God in heaven? Because that's his home. So if I go to your home, obviously you're there. You know me. I can't hide from you there. He says, but even if I make my bed in hell, here in the New King James, the word better translated, Sheol, the realm of departed souls. You know, we think about those who have tried to hide throughout the scriptures. In fact, this past week we studied one of those, or two of those people who tried to hide from God, right? In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have sinned, and they realized their eyes were open. They realized that they were naked, so they made themselves coverings, and then they hid from God. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, notice what they say in verse number 8. Because here comes God. God is walking through the midst of the garden, and he has called out for them. Does he know where they are? Yeah, he certainly does. Sometimes we have to acknowledge things as well. Genesis 3 and verse 8 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves. Were they able to really conceal themselves? No, certainly not. God knew right where they were. They tried to be able to get away from him. They tried to hide from him. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Again, we get an idea here as the writer of Proverbs, here in verse number 3 of Proverbs 15, says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Doesn't matter if you're doing good, doesn't matter if you're doing evil, God is able to see it. In Jeremiah chapter 23, notice what Jeremiah here writes. Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning in verse 23. Here the Lord is speaking. He says, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? You going to be able to hide from me anywhere? Nope. You going to be able to go anywhere to get away from me? No. Why? Because I'm God. I'm God, and you're not getting away from me. No one can go to any place. There's not a secret place that you can go to be able to hide from God. Well, even though those that we know of have tried and made that attempt. If you go back to Psalm 139, we see first that death cannot hide us from God. Secondly, we see in verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 139 that distance cannot hide us from God. The psalmist writes, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. You know, God is powerful. Yes, he's all-knowing. Yes, he's all-powerful. Yes, he's everywhere. But here, what we see at the end of verse number 10, your right hand shall hold me. I'll be held up by the power of your hand. I can't get away from your power. When you think about here, as the psalmist writes, that if I take wings in the morning, if I fly away, I could go to the highest mountain and God is going to be there. I could go into the depths of the sea. God is going to be there. We think about one that went to the sea, right, to try to get away from God. Look with me at Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. We think about one who is doing their best to be able to get away from God. One that didn't want to be around him. One that was not going to do what he had to say. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, rise, go to Nineveh, and that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was going as far away as he could get, away from the Lord. He was getting on a ship to be able to sail to the other side of the sea. He didn't want to have anything to do with what God had asked him to do. He was running and getting away. If you stay there in Jonah, this time go to chapter 2 and notice beginning there in verse number 1. Now Jonah has been cast over the side. He knows exactly why the storm has raged. He knows everything that is taking place. He knows that God is behind it. He tells them they have to cast him into the sea in order to save themselves. They throw him overboard. God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And if you notice here, beginning in verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land. Do you notice his prayer? Jonah's prayer is that I can't go anywhere and get away from you. I can cry out to you from the depths of the dead. I can cry out from you from the depths of the sea, from the belly of a fish in this case. And there's nowhere I can go to get away from you. You know, the thing that we have to understand, just as we talked about this morning in Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, or the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't have to suffer and face the wages of sin. I can have eternal life in Christ, and I've got to understand that there's nowhere that I can go, that I can go too far away to where God can't reach me, to where God can't be able to be heard of me. That I can repent of those things, that I can get to Him. There is no distance that I can go to be able to get away from God. Brethren, it should be a very comforting thing when we think about the times that we have fallen back into temptation and sin, and we've carried through with that temptation. That those times when we have walked away from God, we've got to understand and realize that God is a prayer away, one step away in the right direction, and I'm right back to being there with God. There is nowhere I can't go that I can go to get away from God. I cannot sin enough that God cannot forgive those things. What we have to understand is that willingness to return to God, just as Jonah. This is a guy who got on a boat to go to Tarshish, all the way across the other side of the sea. He was going as far away from God as he could get. And yet he could not go far enough to get away from God. He understood that and realized that in the belly of a fish. He prays to God. He prays and God hears him. He even acknowledges that fact that you have heard me. And he is able to go and do what God would have him to do. We have to understand it is the same for us. While you and I may not be swallowed by a great fish, we at times walk away from God. But there's no distance that we can go to that he cannot hear us, that he cannot be able to forgive us. So we understand, hopefully understand, that distance is not too great for God. The last thing that we see, if you go back to Psalm 139, notice with me in verses 11 and 12. Here in verses 11 and 12, we think about God being everywhere, that I can't die and get away from Him, that there's not a distance I can run to be able to get away from Him. But finally, there is not a place dark enough that God cannot see me. Here in verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 139, The psalmist writes, "If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." When we think about the fact that God can see everything, look with me at Ezekiel chapter 8. We get an idea of this. The children of Israel have been taken into captivity in Babylon. And there are some who are still left behind in Jerusalem. In fact, still even in the temple. Those who are supposed to be leading the worship for the children of Israel. Those who are supposed to be their spiritual leaders. If you notice here, Ezekiel chapter 8, and we'll look simply at verse number 12. "Then he," this is God, "said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols. For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land." Does God see them? Here's what they say. God doesn't see us. Does God see them? Absolutely. Absolutely he sees them. And he has taken Ezekiel in vision form back to the temple, and he's torn open a hole in the wall of the temple, and he says, "Do you see him among all these creeping things and beasts and all of these idols that they follow after? They think they're hiding from me. You can't go anywhere to be able to get away from me. Nothing you can do to be able to hide yourself from me." We think about with the children of Israel. Go to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. All of these things the children of Israel have done against God. The fact that they at this point in time are going to wander in the wilderness. Numbers 32, beginning in verse number 20. "Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But," verse 23, "if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Our sin will always find us out. Our sin will always be found out. Moses here is making sure that those tribes that are going to stay on the other side of the Jordan understand what's going to happen. You're going to help. You're going to be a part of us. And as you cross over into that land, God will know if you choose to stay behind, if you cowered out. You're not to stay behind. We have to make sure that we, every day, are prepared to live for God, to do what He would have us to do. Look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses that I know are familiar to us, but I want you to pay attention to these words. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We think about being able to hide things from God, or even trying to hide things from God. All of it will be found out. All of it will be made known. And here in Ecclesiastes 12, notice beginning in verse 13. Here the writer says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." Why is that important? Verse 14, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." He knows it all. Now, I understand that there are times that we do things that are good for people. We see somebody needs some help, we just stop, we help out, and we keep on going. We don't do it for praise and accolades. Notice that God sees it, and God's the one who will reward. It's the same thing if we think we're getting away with something. In July of 1977, there was a power outage in New York City. The city went absolutely pitch black dark. Looters came out in droves, and they began to plunder stores, and they began to damage things. and they caused, between what they stole and what they damaged, over $1 billion in damage was done. There was one young lady that was interviewed, and she said, "I went into this store, and I had all of these clothes and things that I had brought out and that I was carrying with me. And these guys came over, and they offered to help me with it, and then they just took it. It's just not right." And I did the same thing. I laughed because I thought it was okay for you to take that from somebody else, but not okay for somebody else to take that away from you. You see, very few people, compared to those who looted, actually got caught, arrested, had anything happen to them. Majority of people were able to get away with it because they did it in the dark. While they may have been able to get away with it from man, does God know what they did? And He certainly does. God knows. We can't hide anything from Him. We can go out in the darkest nights, and we can go out and do things in the darkness. We have to understand what the preacher wrote here in Ecclesiastes 12. We are to fear God and keep His commandments, because that's our all. Everything that we've ever done, good or bad, secret, publicly, doesn't make any difference. God's going to bring it out. He's going to bring it to light. We have to make sure that what we do is understand that we serve an awesome God. We serve one that He knows everything that we go through. He knows everything that we face. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. And at times we feel like perhaps even amongst our brethren, maybe at our work, maybe at whatever walk of life we have, at times we feel like maybe we're invisible. Maybe we just are hiding and able to go through life, and maybe some days that's a really good thing, that we just kind of blend in and are able to be just somebody that's there but not noticed. And maybe some days we look forward to that. But I hope we understand we are never that way with God. Not ever. God knows us. He knows the hairs on your head, and I don't have as many as I used to. It's not as hard to count them anymore for Him. But you know, when we think about God and how truly powerful He is, He knows us, each one of us. Go back to Psalm 139. And I want to close with the same verses that we closed with last week. And we'll look at them more next week. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, "For You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You," notice, "for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all Your works, and that my soul knows very well." You took great care in forming me and making me. Great care with every single one of us. God took that care. He knows us. He knows every single one of us. We can't hide from Him anywhere. Not in death, not in distance. And we certainly aren't going to be able to hide in the dark to get away from Him. But we've got to understand that that's an awesome God that we serve. That we can't get away from Him. Can't get away from how powerful He is. And we cannot get away from how truly great He wants our eternity to be in living with Him. I want you to think about you for a moment. When you read Psalms like this, when you read Bible verses like this, and we can find them in other places, how does it make you feel? Do you understand how incredible it is to have God on your side? How incredible it is to be a child of His and to serve Him? That when we go through those dark days, when we go through lonely times, when we go through all of the things that this world and this life have to throw at us, we're never alone, not ever. God is always there. That He knows us. He knows what we go through. That He knows us, and He cares, and He just wants to be able to help. You know, I'm very, very thankful for the church, and I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ, who I know pray for me when dark things and bad things happen, who I know pray for one another, care for one another, show up You see, that's what God does every step of the way. He shows up. He's always there. And so I would ask you tonight to think about you. Where's God in your life? Are you a child of His who leans on Him for their strength and their refuge? Or are you on the outside right now, needing to become a child of His? Your responsibility, I can't do it for you. I wish I could. I can't do it for you. Your faith has to be your own. You're the one who has to determine to believe in Jesus as the Son of God and make that decision to follow after Him. Repenting of that sin, putting Him on in baptism, where your sins are washed away and you rise to walk in newness of life. It has to be your decision. My faith won't save you. When you think about your faith, if you're a child of God, is it saving faith? You have your faith placed in the right place, or is it in the things of this world? If you need to make a change in your life tonight, then we'd ask you to come and do so now. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.